This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Back to school yesterday, over 20,000 just in Pittsburgh public school system, with many others following suit. And by the time we get to Tuesday of next week, everybody will be back at school. And one of the big questions a lot of parents have, and we've heard that there's been a slight spike in COVID cases, testing positive. Just where are we now, and what are the protocols as we get ready for this new school year? So joining us from the Independence Health System in just a moment will be Chief Medical Officer Dr. Carol Fox, and find out what they're seeing and what we can anticipate as we get through the first part of the school. You know, typically when kids go back to school, they get together and they bring whatever's around, going around, home. So it kind of spreads this time of year, no matter what it is. And we welcome Chief Medical Officer with the Independence Health System, Dr. Carol Fox. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. As a physician, as a mom, as somebody in this community, you know better than all of us kind of where we stand. So what is the current status of COVID in the region?
Well, it's certainly nowhere near what it was several years ago at this time, but there has been a slight uptick over the past month or so. So we are seeing a few more individuals with COVID. We're starting to see a few more in our hospitals. You know, we had gone for a period of time where we had somewhere between 0 and 3 patients across the 5 Independence hospitals, and currently we have about 15 patients. So it's gone up a little bit. Fortunately, most people are not requiring hospitalization, but we're also seeing more in the community in general. Individuals have traveled, they've been in, you know, crowded conditions, and they've contracted COVID-19.
So the question for a lot of parents, a lot of moms and dads, doctor, as you're aware, is, okay, what do we do with our kids now? What are the protocols if you suspect your kid has maybe a bad cold? Should you test? Do you test? And what do you do from there?
I would really encourage individuals to test if your child or yourself has what you believe to be an upper respiratory infection. You know, fortunately, COVID has been, in general, more tolerable by folks, but you're always worried about individuals who are at highest risk. So those grandparents or individuals who may be immunocompromised, other students, et cetera. So, you know, if you have symptoms, you should test. If you test positive, you should really follow CDC guidelines, which encourage you to stay at home until your symptoms are improved and you're no longer having fevers, without the use of any kind of fevering, lowering medications.
That's a very good point. And as a family physician, you also know this time of the year when kids get together, get in the classroom, you know, it kind of mixes up whatever's going around, usually comes back to the house anyway, right?
Correct. Correct. And again, you're always worried about other folks who might live at home. You know, kids are around their grandparents, they're around individuals who have, you know, serious illnesses, and those are the people that are most at risk. And of course, we want to, to the extent we can, we want to keep kids in school. So, you know, when you're the most sick, that's when you should, you know, stay home and avoid being around others until you're feeling better.
We're with Dr. Carol Fox, Chief Medical Officer, Independence Health System. I also just saw that the government is going to be providing free COVID tests. So that's really important that there's access for parents, too.
Absolutely. And they're very easy to do. It only takes really 15 minutes plus or minus, and it's not particularly uncomfortable for your child. So it's important to test if you feel that you or your child or someone in your household has symptoms.
Doctor, so if you test positive these days and you're not feeling, you know, severe symptoms, what is the recommendation for people in terms of taking care of yourself?
You know, really, it's similar to what we would recommend for any type of cold or flu. you know, get good sleep, hydrate yourself, try to maintain good nutrition, and, you know, really just, you know, do a lot of really good hand washing, that type of thing. And if you're going to be around others who are at high risk, you might want to consider wearing a mask when you're around them, you know, for a few days after you're feeling better.
I know you're busy. Appreciate your time this morning, Doctor. Thank you. I will see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Carol Fox, Chief Medical Officer, Independence Health System, on the Big K Morning Show. The NFL today on CBS. Big changes, Steelers fans, and why this is important to you is the fact that KDK-TV airs most of the Steelers games on CBS. And, of course, leading into the kickoff on Sundays at noon is the NFL today with Steelers former coach and Hall of Famer Bill Carr. So they've made some lineup changes to their own show, Paul, as you know.
A couple of them, right?
Yeah.
So, who's going and who's coming?
So host James Brown is the anchor man. I didn't think he'd go anywhere.
No.
But occasionally they make changes in personnel. Bill Cowher is still there. They booted Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason.
I was surprised about both of those, by the way.
So you'd say, well, you need a quarterback's perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got Nate Burleson, who's been with them, and they've added J.J. Watt, T.J.'s brother, the older brother who just retired from playing now a couple of seasons ago, and former quarterback Matt Ryan.
It all makes sense. Now, Matt Ryan, I don't know if he's going to be interesting or not. I don't know. But, you know, T.J. Watt has a big personality. Burleson is a star. He's one of the cast on the CBS Morning Show on television. And he's interesting to listen to. He's got something good to say. So you add those in. I get where the network's going. They're trying to have a more lively presentation, appeal to a younger demographic. I get all of that. But
yeah, and J.J. Watt, to your point, is certainly a big personality.
Yeah.
And a big man. He's a huge guy.
The last guy that was a big guy that stood out to me would be Michael Strahan, who is a big personality. Made the transition from the NFL. I'm interested to see if J.J. Watt can do that.
So Matt Ryan was doing games for CBS on the road as a color analyst, so he's moving into the studio. And one other footnote to the NFL today on CBS, Pittsburgher Gene Steratore, the official who's that guy that analyzes, he's going to return for his seventh year as NFL rules analyst.
He does a good job of it, too.
They'll use him during games, and they'll also use him on that show.
When he disagrees with a call or the way that they decided to call at the headquarters, he'll say so.
Yeah, I think he's straight up. And I had the chance last year to hear him speak at a function. That guy has such tremendous stories, engaging stories, and what's interesting is the fact that he was an official on the field for so many of the NFL's greatest moments, and you know these moments as a fan, and then he gives you the backstory of what was really said by the coaches, by the players, what he told them, and what happens, and I find that fascinating. So you're going to have to wait another week, though, because the NFL is off this weekend. It's college football's weekend. Then the Steelers will be on the road the following Sunday to kick off the season in Atlanta to take on the Falcons.
Okay.
But there's always a Pittsburgh connection. So Pat McAfee, who we've mentioned a few times, Marty's nephew was his DJ last year for, you know, the college football stuff they do,
mm-hmm,
that is hugely popular. And McAfee is too. So he's been talking a lot about Pittsburgh lately. He's talked about Myron Cope in the last 2 weeks, about he was the greatest color commentator ever. He's talked about Kennywood on multiple occasions. He just hired Mark Cabali, who was working for The Athletic, but is a Pittsburgher. I just saw him in the hallway here. So he grabbed Bill Cowher yesterday, and he obviously, as a Pittsburgher, he has a favorite football team. Pat McAfee does, in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he reached out to Coach Carr and wanted to know about the quarterbacks. So you have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
A topic which everyone in Pittsburgh seems to have an opinion about.
So what's Bill Carr say?
Has anyone distinguished themselves? Yeah, you see a lot of the flash plays with Justin Fields, but we also see an offense that's trying to also get their feet under the ground. And I think they are going to be wanting to run the football. But I think with Russell Wilson, you start the season with Russell. I say it for this reason. Justin Fields, all of a sudden you need a spark, something to kind of get your offense going again. Put him in. If you have to take Russell out, he's been there before. It's not going to destroy his confidence. I don't want to start Justin Fields and then feel like I have to make a change and I take him out. I would worry about, okay, all of a sudden I didn't live up to the expectation. Limit the expectation you put on Justin Fields. Let him be Justin Fields. Let him get to know this offense and get really comfortable with this offense. I would take the pressure off of Justin, start Russell, and Russell may take it and run with it.
Bill Cowher with Pat McAfee. We said the same thing about you when you came here, Paul.
Just
put Paul in there and don't mess with his ego.
We were talking about this earlier. I want to bring it up again. I remember back when the Cowboys would shuttle Staubach and Craig Morton back and forth back in the 70s. They had two good quarterbacks, made use of them. I don't know if that applies here or not. You mentioned that's what Pitt's going to do, at least to start the season.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there are situations where it's going to be better to have one or the other in.
Coach Narduzzi said yesterday, yeah, they're going to give them both a chance now. The transfer from Alabama, Eli Holstein, is somebody they say has made a lot of progress. Nate Yarnell was the believed starter in the spring, and now they're neck and neck. So they'll figure it out as they go. But as far as the NFL, today is an important day, and we're going to have Jeff Hathorn with us tomorrow morning right after the news at 8 to detail. They got to cut all these guys. You know, a 90-man roster has got to go down to 53. And I don't know why. Paul, there's big money in this world for these guys that make it, and good for them. But for that group that's trying to make it and poured their heart and soul into this, I do appreciate their efforts and know that for many of them, this is it. Like, today is the day when they find out their careers are over. And I just feel for them.
Yep. Your son went through this process.
Yeah. And when it's over, it's for many of them, they've, since they were little kids, this is what they've spent their life trying to do and achieve. And just a few small fraction of people are able to make it. So it's a tough day for those that have to tell these young men, you know, for many of them, this is it.
And on the other hand, those young men can also walk away knowing that they had a shot at it, a shot that almost everybody else doesn't get.
And almost all of them won't quit. They'll keep trying, and, you know, at some point it'll be obvious, and this is it. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic, powered by Bouncer. This is the Big K Morning Show. Thank you for choosing us. Looking forward to the weekend already. I know it's just Tuesday, and you're just getting into your rhythm, but you got the three-day holiday weekend. It is coming up at the end of this week, and, of course, it also unofficially marks the end of summer for many. And we're looking at temperatures, though, that are really high up there in the mid-90s today and through basically the weekend into the weekend. And speaking of the weekend, we've got a great opportunity for you with the kickoff and Rib Festival presented by Icy Light. Starts Thursday through Labor Day Monday at Acrisure Stadium. Admission is free. You've got national rib vendors, free concerts, Pitt game right in the middle at Saturday at noon against Kent State. And you've got some great bands like the Clarks. Everybody here knows and loves the Clarks. Country superstar George Burge. You've got Barbecue and Blues with Billy Price. And on and on. They have youth football camps, the Steelers 5K, street parties, and more. You can go to kdkradio.com, or we'll put a link to Acrisure Stadium. .com/ribfest and get some details. That's acrisurestadium.com/ribfest for the weekend on the North Shore at Acrisure Stadium. So you can check that out. Meantime, we want to talk about an issue that we have had. Aaron, do we have Mr. Gilliam yet? Executive Director of Light of Life Rescue Mission, who actually I just met a few months ago. He's one of these impassioned people that does tremendous work in our hometown each and every day. And I know that the issue that we have had has increased, and Marty has documented this over the years, of the increased homeless population in the region. And what do you do about it? And there's been some plans. One of those came from Sarah Inamorato, who's our Allegheny County executive, about finding housing for these people. And Jarrell's right there on the front line, so he knows, and he has to deal with this each and every day. We're going to check in with him coming up next. It's 842 News Radio KDKA. We want to check in with Jarrell Gilliam, who is the executive director of Light of Life Rescue Mission, well known here on Pittsburgh's North Shore. Good morning, Jarrell. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Good. We wanted to check in with you because even though it's hot this week, the end of summer is coming, and people have noticed an increased homeless population in our region. You know that because you're on the front lines and you deal with this every day. And some of the plans to try to find housing for these folks, how has that gone? Because we first heard of this at the beginning of the summer, and now that we're almost at the end, did we make any progress?
Well, it's always good to be with you, Larry, first of all. Thank you for having me. I'm actually at a summit right now with some executive directors from across the country, and we're coming together and strategizing about the winter season and other things. Yeah, it's been getting worse over the summer. The county contacted us a few weeks ago as they're putting together the winter plan. And so they're calling on a collaborative effort for that to be to come together. The big challenge, though, as you recall, the 2AC is still closed. And so there was already a stressor to the system, and it's been stressed even more through the summer. And so we are just, very concerned about that. Usually it's about twice the amount in the winter that it is this time of the year. And we're already at capacity right now. And so it's concerning. I believe if we come together and if we really look at all of the potential options that are out there, we'll be able to meet the need here in Pittsburgh.
And Jarrell, what is the driving force in your expertise behind this increase? And it's been substantial in a lot of areas of our hometown where there's always been some, but it doesn't seem like we've seen this crisis to this level before.
Yes, it's been increasing across the country. So first of all, there's a national trend this way. But I also think here in our city, as we have been trying to figure out the best ways to approach this, there have been some approaches that have had unintended consequences. And so as a result, instead of moving people out of homelessness, some have remained or it has grown. And we've seen the same kind of trend in the past. There's an approach called Housing First or Low Barrier, which seeks to make sure that everyone who's experiencing homelessness, that their very first thing that we try to bring to them is a place to stay. And then from there, you can get other services theoretically. And so we began doing some of using that approach, but there's a hole in that approach. One is that low barrier or no barrier actually creates barriers for some people. If you have a person, a woman who's been victimized, for example, she may not want to stay in a shelter that has men in the same room that she is in. There are people who are coming out of addiction, and they've decided that they want to now live a sober lifestyle. They don't want to be around people who are constantly using. And so so it's important for us to not just have one fix here in Allegheny County, but to have multiple tracks. Just like there's multiple tributaries into homelessness, we need to have multiple tracks coming out. And when we have a one approach will help all, we end up making the problem worse because people stay in the state that they're in.
Where is this conference, Jarrell?
The conference I'm in now is in Myrtle Beach. And again, I'm a part of CityGate Network. There's 320 rescue missions in Canada and United States. And so it's very helpful for me because when I go to these other cities, I'm able to visit. I was in Tenderloin in San Francisco, Skid Row in L.A., Baltimore, New York. I've been in these places so I can see what's worked and what's not worked. If you followed the news lately, just a couple weeks ago, San Francisco reversed their policy, and they were one of the leaders in this whole low barrier, no barrier right. approach. And they just realized they were losing people with ODs on the street, and they needed to wrap around services. So that's what our big thing is I'm challenging the county, the city, everyone. If we're going to commit resources to creating housing, commit an equal amount of resources to wraparound services to make sure that those who go into the apartments have the supports that they need in order to be successful.
Well, when you come back, we'd love to hear about what you have learned on this journey and how we can implement it here in Pittsburgh. Thank you.
It's always good to be with you, Larry. God bless you.
You too. Jarrell Gilliam, who is the executive director, Light of Life Rescue Mission. They do tremendous work each and every day. God's work in our town. This is the Big K Morning Show. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to check in with our colleague, Lynn Hayes Freeland. Did you ever see Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Oh, yeah. High energy.
Yeah, I saw them one. His stretch pants, thank God, are still stretching. But other than that.
Did you know he was a janitor at the record label where he had his first hit? That's how he got in the music business. He was the janitor at the studios.
You're kidding.
Yep. TK Records down in Florida.
I did not know that.
You know how I learned that? From Casey Kasem.
I'm Casey Kasem, and the countdown continues on American Top 40. Here's our long-distance dedication. You two need to shut up. Thank you very much.
Rose. Also coming up with back to school, you know, we talk about it here. You know, we're here every day doing this, but I can tell you firsthand, this is a major emotional week for so many people on so many levels for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And
you name it, administrators, teachers, parents, children.
There, I mean, we've just
the gone. Custodial staff, the lunch ladies,
everybody. Yeah, it's a challenging time. And on top of that, but there are some great resources. You're going to meet some people who from the United Way. If I say the United Way to you, what does that mean to you?
Well, what it means to me is that's like a gathering spot for hundreds of organizations. If you give to the United Way, they're going to distribute this money out to
all these different
innumerable right. You know, organizations that are doing something good in the community.
We're going to drill down on just one of those coming up next and how they're helping parents and kids back to school. Really important work that they're doing right now.